Josh Rosenthal is a unique, compelling individual who left his big-time job in the hallowed halls of the music industry to start an independent boutique label, Tompkins Square Records, focusing on reissues of important but overlooked roots artists and new records by both icons and Americana up-and-comers. He developed his taste in part while living in Albany and attending the university in the 1980s. His new book, The Record Store of the Mind, even features scenes at the city's legendary punk haunt QE2, as well as Valentine's, where he rediscovered a lot of music, including Charlie Louvin, right?
Yeah, Charlie Louvin. I saw him for the first time here in Albany.
And that was what year? Do you remember?
I came back for a reunion, so it had to be like early 90s at some point.
Okay, so early 90s. And then eventually launching the country music pioneer in a second career. It is part memoir, part listening list, and an inspirational read for anyone with an ear for the winding stream of American music. He is going to be reading, Josh, is going to be reading from his book at 7 p.m. tonight in the local history room of the Albany Public Library, the Washington Avenue branch. And Josh Rosenthal, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
The name of the book is The Record Store of the Mind. Why did you want to, what did you want to say in this volume?
Well, the title itself is sort of a nod to Ferlinghetti, because he wrote Coney Island of the Mind. And I'm in San Francisco now. That's my home.
Yeah.
So I was kind of inspired by that. And I must mention, I'd get in big trouble if I didn't, that the cover is by my daughter, my younger daughter, Hazel. And she designed the cover for me.
It's a very cool cover. It's of a it's sort of a human, a silhouette of a human head with a record, a 45, I would say, in the mind.
Mm-hmm. That's the brain.
Yes, in the brain.
And so basically I started the project in late 2014 because it was around the 10th anniversary of my record label, Tompkins Square. And I was trying to figure out how to sort of note that occasion, mark that occasion. So I started writing about things I was just sort of interested in around that time. And mostly the book deals with unsung musical heroes. And some personal memoir that's sort of like interwoven into some of those chapters.
Are you, do you consider yourself, because there's a definitely an historical element to this, isn't there, of sort of going back and protecting things?
Oh, yeah. I think that's definitely a thread. If you look at the last 10 years of the label, I like to do a lot of reissue work, and I also like to sign new people. Current artists and also heritage artists and make new records with them, such as Alice Gerard, who got her first Grammy nomination after years with, you know, doing independent records and years on Folkways with Hazel Dickens, Charlie Louvin, certainly. And I just made a record with Harvey Mandel, who played with Canned Heat. And he was at Woodstock with Canned Heat,
right?
And John Mayall and a lot of folks like that. So I really enjoy working with heritage artists, and I also like signing new folks and younger folks.
So you're in this book tour with special guests, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But you were in Northampton yesterday, Boston the day before, Albany tonight at the Albany Public Library, as I mentioned, and then Kingston, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, Richmond, Raleigh, Greenville, Asheville, Atlanta, Nashville, Louisville, Bloomington, and Indiana. If there's another Bloomington, I don't know. And Chicago, Illinois. And so when it comes to those places, they all sort of have a story for you, I take it.
You know, it's really interesting, that part of it, because I wrote the book and had no idea that I would tour the book. And now that I have put the tour together, I realized as I was in that process that actually so many chapters of the book are relevant to the various places where I'm going, such as Bill Wilson being from Bloomington, Indiana, or Harvey Mandel being from Chicago, or Jeffrey Kane, who was on the Raccoon Records label, from D.C. It's great because I'm able to go city to city and have it be relevant to that particular place.
So what will you be talking about in Albany then? Because you went to college here, and yep. This sort of was your coming of age musically. So a lot was going on during that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a chapter in the book called Gigs where I talk about some of the shows that I've seen, and there's some Albany relevant things in there, such as seeing Roy Orbison, which I consider the greatest vocal performer I've ever seen was Roy Orbison. And I saw him at the Palace Theater, and I've seen great shows at the Palace Theater. and also there's some stuff about my early career. I got hired out of high school, out of college, to work at Columbia Records, and all that stuff sort of just started germinating here. So it's in the book, and there's some memories of, you know, interviewing folks at WCDB, at the radio station on campus.
So tell me a little bit about the event tonight of what you'll be doing.
Okay, so we're going to be at the main branch of the library.
Yep.
And I'm going to read from the book some of the sections that are Albany relevant, and I'll probably also read about Smoke Dawson, because he spent a lot of time at Cafe Lena, and he was a itinerant fiddler and a very eccentric, interesting dude. So I'm going to be reading about him as well.
When it comes to the these stories and to where you are now, do you think that this industry is at some sort of crossroads? Was this a good place to sort of stop and look back and say, all right, this is where we are right now?
I think it is, because people's listening habits and the way that they're consuming music is changing very rapidly. And that is happening on the streaming front, but it's also happening in vinyl record stores. So you have a lot of digging, a lot of musical excavation happening at that level, at the independent record stores, the used record stores like those in town, like Last Vestige. Those are very important places, because that's where a lot of musical discovery happens, especially things that you can't find on Spotify. Because there's two worlds. There's Spotify, and you can, it's wonderful. You can get so much stuff on there, and you can go down a million rabbit holes. But there's also this whole other world of music that's not represented online as much. So it's kind of a tough time in the business, though, because you have the streaming really rapidly increasing exponentially, and that's generating good profits and stuff. But you also have the wane of the CD and MP3. Those things are going away pretty rapidly.
Which is sort of your concrete reminder of what you had, right?
Right. I mean, that's where the margin is. But I think the whole revolution in vinyl, and why young people like it so much and are buying it, and also older folks like replacing their collection on vinyl, is because we want the tactile. We're not just, you know, we don't just want to be a fan of an artist by streaming their music. We also want something that's a physical good in our house that represents our fandom.
Right. And when it comes to that, I want to get back to what you were talking about, the streaming, because it has become more, I guess it has become more, more money is being made. But my question has always been, who's making the money? So if you as a record label, if you have something and one of your artists is on there, how does that trickle down? So if I'm paying $9.99 for Apple Radio every month, how does that then, that money, if I'm streaming whatever from your label, how does that eventually trickle down to you?
There's a couple of things that are in place. One is called Sound Exchange, and they capture revenue, digital revenue online, and they split it out to the artist and the label 50-50. So that's one way. And then, traditional record contracts are being scrutinized by artists who have signed with major labels a long time ago, because contractually, a lot of those things are sort of like licenses. And so they have to go back to the record company and say, well, we signed a deal, but there's nothing about streaming in here. Streaming didn't exist. And streaming is a much different animal than traditional CDs or you know, LPs or cassettes or 8-tracks. So, you know, there's a lot of give and, you know, back and forth between the artists and the labels. And it's incumbent on the labels to pass the money on to the artist. And I think that's what you're sort of driving at.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, unfortunately, that doesn't happen. So there's a lot of disenchantment amongst the artist community because they're just not seeing the revenue that they used to.
The name of the book is The Record Store of the Mind. And any special guests tonight?
Yes, Michael Eck.
Yes,
who's our local hero, and he's
Michael
also
is our local hero.
He's also my publicity agent, locally. And I should hire him permanently forever because he's so good at it because he got me on this show. But you know, Michael is someone I've known for years and years. We knew each other here in Albany, and you know, we were going to shows and seeing each other and just musical freaks together. And I'm so happy to be back here and seeing him again and being able to appear with him. And he is going to play some tunes tonight as well, so there's musical entertainment. And I'm going to read as well.
It's tonight, 7 o'clock, in the local history room of the Albany Public Library in the Washington Avenue branch in downtown Albany. Josh Rosenthal, best of luck. Again, the title of the book is The Record Store of the Mind, and you can get this pretty much wherever fine books are sold.
Absolutely.
Order it up. Again, it is The Record Store of the Mind, Josh Rosenthal, tonight at 7 o'clock at the Albany Public Library. Josh, good to meet you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.